Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, your community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. With President Obama's inauguration fast approaching and his State of the Union address to almost immediately follow, the challenges that confront Mr. Obama and our nation are plentiful. The much ballyhooed fiscal cliff is behind us. Ahead is the fight over the debt ceiling. Immigration reform is on the president's agenda. And in the wake of the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre, gun control is still part of our national discussion. This morning, my conservative friend Henry Hollingshead joins me to discuss and debate these issues. Get ready for a robust and perhaps heated conversation about politics here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Henry, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We are in 2013, and it's an interesting political climate in our country. And, you know, the last time we had a conversation, we were going back and forth between who would be elected and who would be sent back home. And obviously, we are victorious. President Obama is president again.
Again.
What happened, Henry?
Flawed candidate. What can I say? Message is good. Candidate is flawed.
Are you sure it wasn't the polls? I mean, my goodness.
No, the polls. One of the big mistakes that the Republicans made was not reading the polls. Instead of believing them, they argued with them. And seriously, it was one of the things that did break down and cause the Republican Party to lose. You know, what was kind of interesting on that election, I honestly believe on the day of the election, Romney actually got more votes. But that's not how an election works now in this country. You have 2 weeks in front of that, that President Obama had more votes. So, I mean, it's not the same anymore. It's not one day.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, you know, I love picking your brain. We disagree on a host of issues, but I think you're one of the smartest guys out there. I want to know, from your perspective, do you think that there needs to be election reform in this country?
No, I really don't. When you say election reform, do you mean like the Electoral College or
the Electoral College? I think we should change that. Although that really put President Obama over the top in my judgment, but I do think, give you an example, with all the hullabaloo about the fiscal cliff and the back and forth, one of the interesting dynamics that emerged from that is finding out that many of those recalcitrant Republicans in those particular states where they have gerrymandered their districts so that they don't have to concern themselves with the American people in terms of where the polls are, in terms of where the public opinion is. But because their particular districts have been gerrymandered, they can do just about anything in this country and not have to suffer the consequences.
In many ways, you're absolutely right. But here's the thing. In 10 years, that will change again.
Yeah.
And the rules have been that every 10 years, when you look at the census, you use that as the point to we put in the Electoral College. I like the Electoral College. The reason I like it is because you cannot have one small area make the decision for the entire country.
Yeah.
One thing that President Obama did do, and this is, to me, one of the interesting things of the race, when we got down to the 12 states that were up for grabs, he won 11 of them. So it was broad-based. It wasn't located. One of the big things that conservatives always said was President Obama was so he would win because of the inner cities. He would win because of the black areas and the college areas and the Latino areas. And this proved that his base was actually much more spread. I think it was much easier for him to get a lot of things. It will be a lot of things he could get done because all those different states voted for him.
Yeah.
Not only Ohio, but Florida and, Virginia. Things where things are happening. It was interesting. And I think it was, I think it really reaffirms the American way of doing it. I really do. There is no argument from anybody who won this election. I mean, he had the numbers. He had the Electoral College. There's no argument who won this election.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the beautiful things about our system, I think.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot on our table this morning. And Chuck Hagel, Secretary of Defense, your judgment on that?
I think he's going to get nominated. Yeah. I think he's going to get put in. And I think it's a real in-your-face to the Republican Party. I really do.
Because Chuck Hagel, he's Republican?
Well, Chuck Hagel is not loved by the Republican Party.
No? Okay.
Chuck Hagel because is not loved by anyone.
Well, you know, I think most folks, most Americans want compromise. And I do think with putting Chuck Hagel in that position demonstrates that President Obama is looking for compromise, looking to reach across the aisle.
That's the way it's going to play.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to play. And I think it's a good move to do it politically. One thing Chuck Hagel will do and what they do want to do is make the Defense Department smaller. Mm-hmm. I think Chuck Hagel is a smaller mind. So
I don't think what does that mean?
I don't think he'll have any problem shrinking it.
So what is the Republican argument against Chuck Hagel?
Some Republicans feel that some of the statements that he has made about Israel, some of the statements that he has made about gay rights, some of the statements that he's made about... A lot of people think he's out of touch with reality, that he's just an older...
But the argument about Hagel's position on Israel, I think a lot of Americans probably express the same sentiment.
A lot of them do.
And that is that America first, that our priority is to ensure that our interest and our safety is the number one
priority.
Well,
the thing, when they get to the hearings, a lot of this is going to come out.
Yeah.
Chuck Hagel's view is, yes, we want to be a friend to Israel. Yes, we want to back Israel, but we don't have to sit here every day and say how much we love Israel.
Absolutely. And
I think, that's Chuck Hagel's view.
And I think that is an appropriate view considering if Chuck Hagel happens to lose this nomination because of his past statements on Israel, it will effectively demonstrate that Israel's interest impacts our political system in profound ways.
I don't think anyone that President Obama is going to put up is going to lose in the nominating process. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe that he could have gotten Susan Rice through.
Yeah, I think he could have had he pushed enough.
Yeah. He can get anybody through he wants because of his election.
Yeah.
There's nobody that's going to argue the point. Hillary, I wish her well. She's a sick lady.
Yeah. She's recovering. She's returned back to her job. And I do think that there is some major prospects for her in 2000.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
If she wants it.
Yeah. I think she'll probably express some interest in 2 years after she gets some time off.
The one thing that I'm sorry about, I really, truly am sorry about, is that I will not live long enough to read the book that she will write just before she might write the book before she dies.
Is it going to be a salacious book?
Oh, I think it would be terrific. Actually, when you think about it, I mean, from what has happened, when you look back in history,
yeah,
how the woman can get up in the morning, look in the wind in the mirror, and say, how did I lose to that guy? I mean, it's got to be every morning. Every morning. How did I lose to this guy?
Listen, there has been an interesting synergy between President Obama and Hillary Clinton, and I think she served in her position well. Of course, you and I disagree on President Obama, but I think he has served us well thus far.
That's your opinion.
Absolutely. Fiscal cliff, major argument in our country. It passed, and there are some benefits. There are some losers in this whole argument. What was your perspective? How were you grappling with this issue?
What I find extremely disheartening about the fiscal cliff is that they put in so many tax breaks for the fine liberals. I thought that was ridiculous. I mean, when they get up and they say in the election, these people wouldn't take $10 in cuts for $1 in raising of taxes, yada, yada, yada. They wind up with $47 in taxes for $1 in cuts. I mean, come on. Well, they should not have included any tax breaks whatsoever.
That thing
should have been absolutely pure, straight. And why they won't do Simpson Bowles? Seriously. I think those people definitely need a mental enema. Because Simpson Bowles is the answer as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I read an interesting article. I want to read a couple of things from the article. It talks about winners and losers in the fiscal cliff. And this actually comes from the Huffington Post. And I know that's a left-wing rag that you don't like, but I happen to think it's an excellent website. But anyway, raising winners, rich people, raising the threshold for higher taxes from $250,000 to $450,000 is a big tax cut for all kinds of rich people, not just those with adjusted gross incomes between the two figures. That's because taxes are assessed on marginal income, meaning that even if you make $600,000 or even $1 million a year, you still have a very large share of your income that's taxed at a lower rate thanks to this deal advertisement. Your thoughts?
I think that raising taxes at this time on anyone is a silly idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I am against the tax rates. I think if they would have, my personal opinion, this is going to sound weird, but what I think they ought to have is a one-time 20% wealth tax on billionaires.
That's an interesting concept.
Just go through everybody who has $1 billion.
But one time.
One time, 20%. And you have a year to make the payment.
Now, how much would that yield in terms of our economy?
I don't know how many billionaires are out there with that kind of money, but I would say you would probably raise as much as what they're doing now.
Now, but here's the question, Henry, and again, I often say this in terms of our disagreement on issues, but it is important that we lay that groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
We do agree that we do need taxes in this country.
We, in certain instances, yes, we do need to run the country. But one of the biggest problems I have with the tax rates is they're so unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, well, we want to go back to the Clinton times. Fine. If you want to go back to the Clinton times, give everybody the same tax breaks that were on the paper in that time.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening is we're knocking out all of the tax breaks and then we're raising the rate. And so it's much more complicated and it's much bigger amount than what they think. I think that the proper thing to do is if you're going to go after millionaires and billionaires, this is the problem with that. These guys are the ones that have accountants do nothing but figure out how to beat taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And tax bills are actually written by someone making $40,000 a year. The actual bill itself is written by a man that's making, or a lady that's making $40,000 a year.
Which is not a lot of money.
People are paying somebody to get around it millions of dollars a year. And you're going to get what you pay for.
But my question, Henry, you understand this. I understand this.
Mm-hmm.
But those folks who are voting in the Republican Party, those folks who are, average workers.
Sure.
They don't, for some reason, they don't understand that at the end of the day, the Republican Party, in my judgment, are the gatekeepers of the wealth divide in this country. And for some reason, they cannot grasp the idea that those billionaires are utilizing our tax structure for their benefit. But those who are middle class families, those folks who are working for a living, the tax structure doesn't seem to work on their behalf.
No, it's the tax structure in this country is horrible. horrible.
Sure.
It is terrible. And
why vote for Boehner, Boehner's policies, if Boehner's primary objective is to protect the wealth of those folks who are making the billions of dollars?
I don't think it really is, to be honest with you. You have a job now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice your taxes going up?
Well, I didn't get my first paycheck.
You haven't got it yet, but it will.
Well, the payroll taxes definitely
going up. It's
going
to go up.
Absolutely. I'm a little frustrated with that because
right.
I can use that extra $40
and $50. Absolutely. And this is what has happened, is that we're sucking the $40,000 and the $50,000 out of everybody's paycheck. And it's the absolute worst way to go about it. It is the worst way, because when you get $50, now you've got kids at home.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to use that $50 to placate the children or to go out or to do something, okay? They're taking that $50. Let's just say you would go out to dinner with that $50, all right? Instead of that, you have to give it to the government. The government's going to decide how they're going to spend your money, and you can't go out and put money into the economy because your money is going to the government. And this is what everybody wants, the Republicans want to stop, this and the spending. Come on, you got to slow down on the spending. Spending is what's killing. And what frustrates conservatives is when they say, okay, you got the tax rate, now let's work on the spending. No, we want more taxes. Come on.
Well, but Henry, we are obligated as American citizens. We do need a compulsory system to enable us to build our roads and our bridges and our tunnels. We have a military that is protecting us around the world. So we have to pay for these things.
Absolutely.
It's not going to come out of by happenstance.
No.
It's not falling from the sky. So we have to have that pooled compulsory system so that those things can be created and supported.
But what we also have to do is we have to get off the backs of business and let them develop business. You have to make sure that you have a tax rate that is understood. So much money is off to the side because people don't know exactly what's going to happen with the tax rates.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't invest it. You can't do anything with it. You have to wait until you find out what the tax rate is.
But that's part of the problem. The other part of that problem, because American corporations were sitting on $2 trillion worth of profits. And the reason why they were not investing and hiring folks is because they didn't see anybody out there buying. You have to have individuals, the American consumers have to be out there to purchase the products these people create.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have folks spending money, they're not going to be able to invest those trillions of dollars into the system.
Absolutely.
So it works hand in hand.
And the reason that they're not putting the money out there, the reason they're not investing the money is because everybody has to hold back to find out how much they have to give the government in taxes.
Well, again, but that's a two-pronged situation. You can't just say that that's the reason. There's also another reason as well. And that other reason, again, is if there are no consumers out there purchasing products, because the economy is built on the idea that consumers are going to buy.
Absolutely.
And if you do not have individuals out there working and buying, that stalls the economy.
And the biggest problem with spending right at this moment in time is what your taxes are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it is killing business because a lot of businesses want to expand. This is the time you want to expand because you have these months right in here to get everything organized.
Mm-hmm.
To expand because of the summer's coming and you want to be able to expand right now. And without knowing the tax rate, you have just jammed up everything. I mean, accountants are sitting there. They don't know what to do. You're going to be asking for tax breaks. You're going to go on long-term, five-year straight-line depreciation on goods. You don't know what the depreciation laws in a year are going to be. Are they going to wipe them out? Are you going to be able to double depreciate? Are you going to be able to go 6 years, some of the year's digits? How are you going to be able to do it? They will not tell anybody how to do it. Are you going to be able to depreciate land?
Mm-hmm.
You want to build the inner city? That's something that they ought to look at. If you want to build the inner city, be able to literally depreciate the land that the buildings are built on. You can't do that now. You've never been able to do that. But when you redo the tax code, all these things can come up.
Yeah, yeah. So it is a very complicated system.
Oh, it's a mess.
And it's hard to ferret through our tax structure, our tax code. It's very hard.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, we have other things that's going on. The Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting.
Horrible.
Absolutely horrible. But gun control is now at the center of our discourse in this country. Any thoughts about that?
Well, first off, I want to say straight up, this idea of printing everybody's name in the paper.
Isn't that horrible?
Is next to treasonous,
absolutely.
In my opinion.
I agree.
Because
I'm a gun owner, so.
I know you are. But the thing is, to me, I don't think it's right to put the cop who's on the street, put his family at risk.
Absolutely.
Someone trying to run away from an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons people might have taking out the paperwork for a gun and not have it.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, kids can look that up, know who's ill, know where to go to get a gun.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a discussion about this when you and I hosted It's My Turn on 89.3 FM The Storm. I miss the old days.
I do too. You got to come back. Come back.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, we used to talk about gun control back in those days and whether or not the Second Amendment gives everybody a right. One of the things that's important to me, and you know that I am an avid supporter of the Second Amendment and the right to own a gun. I just appreciate the idea that I have a right to protect my family.
Right.
What do you think about these sensible gun laws that I think, you know, I don't think people who have mental issues should actually have access to guns.
We have to tighten up the rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. We have to make this much more. Look, I'm from Wisconsin, okay?
Yeah.
I know about hunting. I know about if you don't go out and shoot the deer, they're going to starve to death. I understand harvesting.
That's right.
I understand the money that is made in this thing. But I do not understand why anyone needs an assault weapon. There's a point in time when we're getting silly here.
Absolutely.
You know, you're not going to go out and hunt duck with an M60.
But why are folks who are part of the NRA and even their political branch, they don't understand that assault weapons are not required to go shoot a daggone
and this,
duck.
And this guy, LaPierre, this is an ill man. I mean, this man needs some serious, serious couch time. This guy's got to get another oar in the water.
Yeah.
I mean, to get up and say we're going to have armed guards at grade schools. Look. Let's go back in time. Pearl Harbor had a lot of guns, okay? I mean, I don't want to hurt people's thought and feelings, but you start arming it, and it's going to, I think, have people try and figure out how to do something against it, rage against the machine type of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a horrible idea what they're thinking
Absolutely.
About doing.
When the school shooting occurred, I think there was a collective gasp in this country. 20 young, beautiful children.
Just come on. I mean, a point in time when we have to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
But
what do you think should be done? What are your thoughts about a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines?
I think they should totally ban assault weapons. I mean, that we have to do. I think we have to have a real discussion. I'm open to a discussion on this thing, but I really think we have to get the assault weapons off the street. We can't have gun shows where they're just selling these weapons across the street. We have to have certain rules and regulations put into effect because weaponry has come so far since it was written.
Yeah.
And the one thing I have to say is if you do read the Second Amendment, it always starts with to have a well-organized militia.
Right.
Look, two drunks and a crackhead does not make a militia.
That's well, and listen, you give them a bayonet and you let them.
Oh, now they're going to play Mumbly Peg or something. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, yeah. But it was really, I think, you know, there were moments particularly in the wake of it, where, you know, I actually cried. I mean, it was so emotional for me because, you know, I have a 5-year-old.
Sure.
Home. Yeah. And that day, my 5-year-old, they had pajama day at school.
Oh,
so we took pictures and
sure.
all. But you can imagine the absolute horror
oh.
the parents must have felt sending their child off to school and to have this monster barge into the school the way he did.
Just and do what he did. Just terrible.
So the push for gun control is raging in the country now. Any thoughts about you know, whether there can be compromise between the nation and the NRA?
I hope so. I hope so. I hope that the biggest thing that I hope comes out of this whole thing is that they score Sandy Hook. Yeah. Somebody ask LaPierre to score Sandy Hook. I think he should have to do it. Because to get up and say we shouldn't have this rule and that law and the NRA is totally out of bounds.
When you say score, what do you mean?
Well, that's the NRA. Anytime anyone says anything, a politician, mm-hmm. it's scored,
right,
by the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, this was a bad thing you said, or this was a good thing, or you know, and he gets to score all this. Well, let him score that one. I'm telling you what, you want to score something, you go score that.
Yeah. Well, we have the debt ceiling arguments.
Oh.
That debate is about to start raging.
Unbelievable.
What are your thoughts about that? You think the Republicans are going to hold us hostage again?
It is an interesting thing, because I think that the Democrats had the play. They had the place to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have cut the grand deal. They could have really, truly made President Obama look like the liberal Ronald Reagan. If they would have cut the deal, if they would have put the thing together, a permanent tax fix, really put the thing together, use Simpson Bowles, and then flesh it out.
Mm-hmm.
But they blew it.
Yeah.
They decided instead of that to take this little tax cut, give away all this money, set themselves up for a fight down the road, which no one can win. And I believe the conservative party, the Republican Party right now, is itching to close down the government, because
that's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. But the spending of the money has got to stop.
Absolutely. Well, we have about 30 seconds left. It goes very quickly.
Oh, it does.
Well, your outlook, your predictions for 2013.
Wow, there's a tough one. I think President Obama is actually going to have a pretty good year. But by the end of 2013, I think it's going to really start to drop off.
Mm-hmm.
I really think so. I think in unemployment, 8 is going to be the new 5.
Mm, but the current trajectory suggests that that's going to decline.
Right, because we're dumping $30 billion a month into the economy.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we do that, sure. But when they run out of the money, when we hit the fiscal cliff and we can't put in the $30 billion, then you're going to have a problem.
Wow, wow. Well, you know, we didn't have the robust debate that you were hoping for. I just wanted to kind of pick your brain and just talk over some things, because I miss having these conversations with you.
Well, anytime you want, I'll be back with my brain.
Absolutely. Well, Henry, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to again thank my friend Henry Hollingshead for joining me to talk about the bevy of challenges that confront our president, congressional leaders, and the American people. Despite our disagreement on a host of issues, we'll all do well to remember that holding fast to rigid ideologies accomplishes very little. It's through compromise and shared sacrifice that allows for economic growth, a fair democracy, and ultimately the success and well-being of all Americans. This is
Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.